Creative Babble.
Hey guys, it's me, Javier, and guess whose birthday it is? It's Pretend's birthday. Pretend is 4 years old, and I wanted to celebrate with a special episode, so I invited only one friend to my party, and that is Jules Hannaford from the Fool Me Twice podcast, which is a true crime podcast about con artists, which we all love. And season two of Fool Me Twice is coming out, and Jules lives in Hong Kong on the other side of the world, and today is my Friday, and today is her Saturday morning. It's by Friday night, Saturday morning. Trying to arrange a Zoom call was a nightmare. But we made it happen. Welcome, Jules.
Welcome. Hey, Javier. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's great to see you. And I'm so honored to be here. And I've loved your podcast over the years. I don't know which season's my favorite, but I just couldn't wait for every episode. I love it. So, and it's so interesting that we've both done podcasts on con artists.
I know. It's weird. Yeah. What does it say about us? And I guess we're not the only ones invited to the birthday party. All of you who are listening are part of Pretend's four-year-old birthday party.
Happy birthday. Happy anniversary for 4 years. It's amazing that you've been doing it for so long.
Can you believe that we've been doing it for so long? Because it's not just me doing it for so long. I mean, you've been a podcaster with, you know, your original podcast, which was Hong Kong Confidential. I mean, how long have you been doing podcasts?
Yeah, that one's 4 years in September.
You see, so, we started around the same time.
Yeah, around the same time.
Yeah, we go way back. So I asked Jules to come over here on the show and just, let's talk Pretend, because there's so many episodes. And like you said, there are so many episodes. People ask me which one's my favorite episode, and that's really hard for me to do. So I figured, hey, why not? Let's just talk about it.
Yeah. Well, I can't pick one that I love of yours, but I love the whole Jane Whaley series. That was amazing.
Oh, yeah. Loved it. Well, you know, it's so funny. If I am known for one thing, it is definitely the Word of Faith Fellowship season, for sure, hands down. I mean, when we went to the True Crime Podcast Festival in Chicago, I mean, it was just, you know, question after question about the cult in Western North Carolina. For sure, that is like my greatest hit song, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I remember listening to it and just feeling nervous as you were going into like on the ground reporting and incognito. And I just was like, oh my gosh, how is he doing it? It was amazing. I just, you know, really felt that energy with you. And it was just such a great story and you delivered it so well.
Well, I'm glad that you felt that way because that's exactly how I felt. And I wanted you to feel that way because I didn't know how else to communicate that, because I remember that feeling in my stomach still to today where I was minutes away from actually being dropped off at that church, and my stomach, you know, when your stomach just goes blah.
That nervous nuts. Feeling. Oh, yeah. I couldn't believe you were putting yourself in that position. Like how courageous.
Yeah, I know. And you know, it's kind of crazy. And even to today, I mean, every time I approach a story, not every story, but you know, there's a story that, that John and I want to do for Criminal Conduct for a future season that just the thought of it freaks me out. It involves the Mexican drug cartel.
And I'm like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. You're just going to elevate your risk, aren't you?
Yeah. I don't know if I want to mess with those guys. I've messed with sheriffs, but the cartel, I feel like that's going too far. I feel like I'm not doing a good job if I'm not nervous. Not all the time, because not every story is this huge investigation, but I always try to pick one or two stories a season to dig myself into, you know?
Which is the story with the guy? Was it a helicopter or a plane?
Oh, yeah, the hijacker.
Ah, that one. Cool. I love that one. That was
brilliant.
I'm glad
you asked about that one because
That was a great one as well. That had me on the edge of my seat and I loved it.
Yeah, that was not only was that fun to make, but that was really frustrating after it aired because this guy, Martin McNally, he hijacked a plane around the same time as D.B. Cooper. And the first time you ever heard his voice on any podcast, any TV news, was on my show. My friend Chris Niddle interviewed him. And guess what? After we aired that episode, Phoebe Judge of Criminal did that episode on her show. And then they created a whole series on the hijacker. So
Did they really? Oh my gosh, you're a groundbreaker.
I know, but you know, it's like, I don't own that story, but it is, it was like, wait a minute, we did it first.
At least give
nobody,
us a plug.
Nobody remembers that, but yeah.
Oh, congratulations. That's quite amazing that you're so groundbreaking. But yeah, I thought that episode was just gripping. I loved it. It was great. But
well, you know, there are certain rules that I have for pretend and for criminal conduct too, which is I don't want to tell you a story that you already know. So that's one of the rules. I'm like, every time I interview somebody or I talk about somebody, I want to tell the story in a different way. The most high profile person I interviewed was Uri Geller, the guy that bends the spoons, the psychic.
Oh yeah. Yeah. My uncle used to be friends with him back in the '60s and the seventies. Really? Yeah. Yeah. He used to go have dinner parties with him. How bizarre is that?
Did he bend all the spoons at the dinner
time? Yes, and taught my uncle to levitate. Seriously.
And I had fun with that one because the only thing I wanted to get James Randi, but he was sick. He was getting old and he's passed away since. But I got him the second best, which was his protege, Banishek, which is a magician. And he was able to tell us some stories about James Randi back in the day. But magicians are con artists, right? Because they're fooling people.
Yeah, absolutely. So where are you gonna go next with pretend? What sort of cons are you looking at following up on in the future?
You know, it was so funny. Before we started recording, you said that you felt like you almost ran out of people to talk to in Hong Kong. I feel like, I'm like, am I running out of con artists or am I running out of story ideas? And I always feel that way. Every season I feel that way. And I don't. I'm not out of stories for sure. I'm doing this whole series on hypnosis that's coming up. Ah. Yeah. And it's really interesting because the whole question is, it started off with, I did this series on the lie detector of how to fool polygraph test. And the guy who was...
That was a great one, too.
That was a great one,
that one, yeah.
And he was saying that the way to fool is to put yourself in a state of self-hypnosis. And during the research of that show, I was watching these YouTube videos of women giving natural labor without any anesthesia, just doing self-hypnosis. And I was like, I can't even imagine how painful that was. But then I saw somebody getting their tooth extracted without any anesthesia. And by the way, sorry, that was my dog. You're going to hear dogs in this episode.
And they were getting their teeth. Yeah, no, I've heard of people having proper operations with hypnosis and no anesthetic. I don't know if that's true or not. I know, it's crazy. And is it really true?
Well, I asked my dentist because I went and I got some dental work done and I said, is this true? And have you ever heard of this? And he said, yeah, actually, when I was in right out of medical school or dentistry school or whatever, he said there was a woman that said, I don't want any anesthesia. Just give me, you know, 5 minutes so I could get in the zone or whatever. And he's like, he was like, no, I'm already nervous because you're like one of the first people I'm drilling into. And she's like, no, trust me, I just need 5 minutes. And he drilled and filled the cavity without any anesthesia and it freaked him out.
Oh my gosh, that's true.
Well, so anyway, so that kind of snowballed into something else, right? Because I'm wondering, is this bullshit, right?
Yeah.
is hypnosis real? And then I find out that hypnosis is actually used as evidence or testimony in court. And some people have been found guilty using that as evidence. So I really want to just pick apart this idea of, is hypnosis real? And the whole aspect of it and the role it plays in our legal system. So that's my big investigation for the next season. And I got a lot of other stories. I have... this great bank robbery story, which I won't get into, and another stalker story. Yeah,
and you've had romance scam stories before, haven't you? I remember you did one in season one or two.
Yeah, you know, and that's actually the most common one, right? So when listeners submit stories, they're always submitting stories about either being catfished or romance scams. Those seem to be the most common.
It's a billion-dollar industry. It really is huge. And it's grown exponentially during COVID. So
and it's easy to do because, if I had to boil down a con into like a mathematical equation, it takes a con artist plus you plus you wanting that con artist in, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. you have to accept that con artist in, because if you don't, if you shut that con artist out, they have nowhere to go. But you have to be willing to accept them. And romance, I mean, scams are fit perfectly into that equation, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. They do. And on top of that, the technology is getting greater and greater, so that the scammers have got more ways that they can actually convince you that they're real when they're not. Like back in the day when I got scammed in 2010 for Fool Me Twice One, there just wasn't the ability to create fake videos, or, you know, even people's Photoshop skills for photos and, you know, providing evidence just weren't as good as they are now. So things have changed a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And yeah. By the way, yeah, Fool Me Twice season one is amazing. So if you haven't listened to it, listen to it now.
And thank you so much.
Season two is coming out, which is super exciting. Well, and I'm going to play the promo, you know, on my feed. So if you're just listening to this now and you haven't listened to Jules' season two promo for Fool Me Twice, go ahead. It's in my feed right now. You can listen to it. So
thank you so much.
Yeah, Pretend has really taken me to some far off places that I never thought I would be 4 years later.
And what's the scariest thing that you've done? Is it the Jane Whaley thing?
Yeah, for Pretend, by far the Jane Whaley thing was the scariest.
That's when I felt the most scared listening.
The second scariest thing I've ever done was Criminal Conduct season one, because, you know, we're reporting about this potentially corrupt sheriff's department, and we're driving down there and they know we're there, and, you know, it's just like, I'm thinking, are we gonna get thrown in jail? Like, are we gonna get murdered, you know, because the last guy that was looking into the story got murdered. So
I know it's crazy. Yeah. That must have been quite scary. It was amazing how that all came about. Yeah. Have you learned any more since the series finished?
Yeah, you know, we have not stopped reporting on season one, and there has not been movement in the case, right, for either Michelle or Eli, but we've learned some new things that we didn't know when we did season one, and we've been recording some interviews, and also there's just some things that are happening now that weren't possible when we were reporting on it on season one. So don't be surprised if there's some major update episode coming in the near future.
That'd be great. I think everyone will jump on that. They'll be really interested to see what's going on.
Yeah.
And what about season two? Was that as nerve-wracking? And it's so interesting that I've heard that those guys have been arrested.
Yeah.
So is it two policemen?
It's two constables, which I didn't know going into this what a constable was. I mean, I heard the term, but I didn't really know. And it turns out that there's constables in the UK. There's constables in Canada. But the constables change depending on where you are. But in Kentucky, in Kentucky, and specifically Pulaski County, constables have the power of a sheriff. So they are a one-man sheriff's office. So they could drive police cars. They could they carry guns. They could arrest people. And they're voted in, so you can't fire them. They're like super powerful. Gosh. And then when they seize your property, they get to keep 75 to 80% of that, of what they seize. So it creates this perverse incentive for them to plant drugs on people, falsely arrest people. You know, it's just a terrible, terrible situation. And when we started season two, you know, it wasn't our original season two. Our original season two was something else, but COVID happened. And so we were like, what story can we do remotely? And so we found this story, and the timing was perfect, because just as we were wrapping up season two, the FBI basically did an undercover sting. Well, I don't want to ruin it. I don't want to spoil it for you guys.
But
those two guys, they ran out of luck. Let's just put it that way. And just today, the day we're recording.
I know. I just saw that on Facebook before we met that they've been arrested. But what I want to know is, has your podcast had any link with their arrest, do you think?
No, no. I think that
it's completely
it was a long
separate.
Time coming for those they, guys.
Right, they've been, right, okay.
People knew about it. The local police knew about it. The sheriffs knew about it. The politicians knew about it. I just think it's awesome that we did our podcast because now it's out in the open. It's in their face and people know about it and people are mad. And that's the whole point.
Phoebe
you know?
Judge will be doing another one.
Yeah, just wait till Phoebe Judge does it better. And
yeah.
Oh, Phoebe, if you're listening, call me.
Yeah, yeah. Get Javier on as a guest, Phoebe. Come on, at least.
That's right. you know, we live in the same town, right?
Oh, no, I didn't know that. Yeah, yeah. Oh, you should stalk her.
Yeah, she's awesome. I mean, she's actually one of the we're kidding. We're kind of beating her up a little bit, but she's she's kind of one of the main influences for my show and part of the reason why I got into podcasting to begin with. So I love her storytelling style. Yeah.
So tell me how you did get into podcasting. What was it that made you kind of work full time, be a dad of two girls, and then put a lot of time into doing this kind of investigative reporting, which takes a long time?
Yeah, well, you know, I come from a journalism background. That's where I started my career in news, local news. But then I also did documentaries for the local public television station. And that was amazing.
Yeah. And do you think you'll continue doing pretend and criminal conduct? Like you'll keep doing different series of both?
You know, I really have a fantasy about doing documentaries. I would love to do a video version of Pretend. That was always the idea. You know, I always wanted to do this as a documentary, but I realized that documentaries are hard to produce. They take lots of people. You know,
yeah, they do a lot of money.
Well, you know what's interesting is John and I for Criminal Conduct shot during COVID. This is like during the height of COVID. We went down to Florida and we shot a documentary for Discovery ID on Criminal Conduct season one. And it's all about John and I, which is really weird because I'm used to being behind the camera or behind the microphone, but never in front of it.
No, you got to start hosting. Yeah.
So this comes out in July, like at the end of July, and we're going to be all over TV. And
oh my gosh. So what's it about?
It's about Criminal Conduct season one.
How cool. How did that come about?
July 27th on Discovery ID. I think it's called Citizen PI or something like that.
Oh, how cool. How did that come about? How did you end up doing this?
You know, every now and then I get little bites here and there to do TV, and a lot of times it goes nowhere. And this one, they approached us and they heard season one and they wanted to develop it into like an episode of a long series. It's a lot like the series Don't Fuck With Cats on Netflix. I don't know if you've seen that.
That was crazy. I have. That was full on.
Really terrible, but I mean, great show, but just terrible, the brutality in that. But this is about sleuths and citizen private investigators. And so they asked us and we went down there and shot a whole episode. It was cool.
Oh, brilliant. That's amazing.
So July 27th. We've been in this thing for so long and neither of us would have imagined that we're doing these multi-season podcast, but here we are.
No, I would never have. And even just to get the recognition or the listeners and the downloads and the reviews and all that sort of thing, the Patreon sponsors.
That's too much.
It's just been amazing. Like, we're both really lucky. We've both got
great audiences. You know, Jules and I were saying that we got in right as that window was closing.
We did. We just got into the heyday times, didn't we? We're podcasting. Like, I think there were only about 800,000 podcasts on Apple. Yeah, that's not many. I mean, there's probably 3 million now. Did you know that during COVID, Amazon sold out of microphones? Because everybody because at one stage, because everyone's starting a podcast.
Well, my numbers are actually going down since COVID. It was like the first time in the show's history that the numbers have been going down for both shows. And and I just, you know, I hope you still like what I'm doing, but I blame it on COVID and
lack
of commute and all the celebrity podcasters that are just sitting home bored, just chatting with their friends.
there's loads of people that have jumped on the bandwagon, and the celebrity ones have that selling power. And I honestly think it's people at home with their children. They don't get the time, and also they're not commuting. I think so many people listen to podcasts when they're traveling.
Yeah, yeah, the listeners are the best. They're actually like what keeps me going.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I mean, podcasting takes so much time away from my family, and it's so rewarding at the same time, just because I love getting messages from my listeners telling me that, hey, you know, they love the show, or they, you know, they have a story to share, you know, because a lot of the times, like, I don't even need to find stories. Stories come to me. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Same for me. I'm exactly the same. Does your wife ever worry about the risk that you put yourself under? Is that something that comes up? Or is she like, does.
You know, I was,
oh, but she must be getting used to us.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't, she just like, she's like, ah, here he goes again, you know, just doing his thing. Like the other day, I went downstairs and I was like, you'll never guess who I talked to, because this is like for my next season. I talked to a former KGB agent. And she's like,
did you?
Yeah, I did. I was like, she's like, of course you did.
Yeah, she's used to it now.
But it was such a great interview, Jules, because I got to tell you, I got to be honest with you. Part of, and you know this too, you know, when you're producing these shows, they take a lot out of you. They're so draining, you know, and I have been producing Pretend nonstop for a whole year. I wanted to see if I could keep it going without stopping. And then Criminal Conduct started, and I was really getting burnt out. And that was at a low, and I just wanted a break. But then I talked to this KGB agent, and it was such a phenomenal interview that even he lost track of time. And it was like a 2-hour interview. And he goes, you're good. You're really good, because I said a lot more than I wanted to. And he really enjoyed that interview. And that's coming out the next season. So,
how exciting. Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah. It's lovely when you do something like that, where you get re-energized, where you just think, oh my gosh, this is why I'm doing it. And we all have those interviews or those experiences. And
it's like I get depleted, but then like I get, my cup fills up again, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's also another partnership with Chris Niddle. Hopefully, I'm trying to convince him, because he recorded this interview years ago. It's been sitting in the back burner for years. He doesn't know what to do with it. So I'm going to put it together and see if we could play it on Pretend. And it is a woman, a Scandinavian woman, blonde hair, pale skin, who marries a terrorist, and she converts to fundamental Islam, and he was on, you know, like the most wanted list. And so we're going to put that story together, because her story is just fascinating to hear.
Is she the one that went and moved and lived with him and had children, and then he died, and then she came back and all that? Yes, I've read that story.
Yeah,
I know about her. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, that will be such a good podcast.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
So there's lots of cool stuff cooking. It's just a matter of getting it done.
yeah. So what would be your tip for anybody who was interested in getting into podcasting? What would you say to them?
I come at it just the same way I did, with no expectations. Just do it for fun if you want to do it, but don't expect. I run a local podcast meetup group here in North Carolina where I live, and I always tell people, don't expect that it's going to be a hit. Don't expect that you're going to get a bunch of ad money. Don't expect anything, really. You know, you're lucky if 5 people listen to it. You're lucky if 100 people listen to it. And if 1,000,000 people listen to it, you're even luckier. So just do it for fun. Because honestly, like 4 years later, the only thing that keeps me going is the fact that it's fun. It's not that there's money behind it, because there's not. You know, it's not that it's giving me more free time, because it's not. You know, I just do it because I really enjoyed telling stories, and I feel like sometimes it helps people, you know, the stories that I'm telling, you know.
Oh, look, I think that it definitely helps people, for sure. Have you faced any kind of criticism or any negative reviews or anything like that? And if you have, how have you dealt with them?
Yeah, you know, I get, it's funny, because this is something that females usually get you know, bad reviews for, but they say that I have, I just did it. I mean, everybody does that, or say like too much, which I'm trying to control. and they say that I have vocal fry, you know, which is usually slam against women, which usually they don't criticize men for. But I don't know. I mean, you know, I take and I look at my bad reviews and I dismiss them because I'm like, you know what? If you don't like my show, don't listen to it. You know?
Yeah. But
obviously, somebody likes the show because
there's loads of people listening.
It gets thousands of downloads a day. So I try to force myself to pay attention to the positive ones, although it's that one negative one that really stings the most.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. I have to say, I think you've got a fantastic voice. It's very rich and I love listening to it. Yeah, so you've got a great voice for podcasting and I think that enhances your podcast for sure. Because there are some podcasts that I'm interested in, but then I can't listen because of the voice sometimes.
Yeah, well, you have a fantastic voice. So anybody
Americans love Australian accents.
Yeah, you could read War and Peace and we'd be like, oh, tell me more, Jules.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. I remember listening. I got Drew Barrymore's book and I got it as a Audible and I was listening to it and she reads it and I just couldn't stand it because she just kept screaming.
Oh, no.
And it was just like, oh, it was awful. So I couldn't listen to the whole thing. Sorry, Drew, when she's listening.
She's not listening. Don't worry. Jules, thank you so much for celebrating my four-year-old birthday with me, aka anniversary, but I like to call it a birthday because,
because you did give birth to this podcast and it is a labor of love.
Under hypnosis, so it didn't even hurt.
What? You weren't under hypnosis.
You know how we're talking about like people giving birth. Okay.
I knew you were lying.
The show just slipped right out. Yeah.
Look, thank you so much for all your support over the years. Thank you for playing my promo for Fool Me Twice 2. I'm so excited for its release next month.
Oh, if you haven't listened to it, you have to. It's going to be so good. I can't wait for it.
Awesome. And look, let's just stay in touch and congratulations on all your success. And I'm looking forward to seeing what you come up with next.
Oh, same here, Jules. I appreciate it. And I feel like I'm talking to somebody from the future because it's tomorrow where you are. So this is really cool for me. And I really appreciate you coming on the show. And for all of you who are listening now, stay tuned because the new season will start at any moment as soon as I could get it done. Trust me, I have plenty of stuff. I just have to get it done.
finding that time. Yeah.
But anyways, I digress. We were saying goodbye.
I know. We could chat for hours.
All right, Jules.
Yeah, thank so you great so much. To see you. Have a lovely evening. Thanks
all right,
a lot.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye. All right.
Creative Babble.